with me, and let's welcome Patricia Bootsma. Yay!
Thank you, Stephen. Hello, Toronto. Yay! Woo! Praise the Lord. Thank you so much. I thought of three things that are different from living in Toronto than living in Stratford. One of them is you take more than 5 minutes to get anywhere. Second one is you don't see tweens running around looking for Justin Bieber hotspots, where he ate ice cream, you know, where he hung out to do his busking. And what was the third thing? I think I forget. Oh yeah, that go to the grocery store and not stop 10 times from people who know me. So other than that, it's just fabulous being here. God is so good, so blessed. And you know, I just felt like, can we just for a moment, you can sit if you want, you can stand, but just to pray in tongues, sing in tongues for just a moment. If you have a prayer language, I just want you to release it right now. Just Holy Spirit, come. Let's sound Pentecostal for a moment here, okay? Oh, we welcome you. We love you. We praise you. You're so good. Lord, encourage and build us up. Align us this morning. Oh, God, you're so amazing. You know what I felt him telling me yesterday? That people were going to be healed this morning. I also really felt a deliverance from discouragement and depression. Jesus, we say yes. Clouds of discouragement leave in Jesus' name. Hurt and offense comes off your people. Lord, I thank you for your work inside of us. And Lord, we just say yes, 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 yes. We enter into the joy that you have for us, joy unspeakable. Oh, shikanamasoro bakita. Oh, isn't that awesome? Woo! God is good. Do you know that there was a study done in Oral Roberts University, I forget the name of the doctor, but he found that in glossolalia, speaking in tongues, singing in tongues, that there is a secretion released in the brain that is not released by any other human activity, only through the prayer language, glossolalia, and it boosts your immune system 35 to 40%. How many think that's pretty good? Come on. So I hope you're using this gift. You do not have this gift. We want to pray for you today. I want to say, come Holy Spirit, and just pour it out. Whoa, come on. So I want to speak on passion for his presence this morning. I do have a PowerPoint. Look at, I'm trying to be like Steve Long here, organized. And you know, I used to go to the grocery store and never take a list. And then I found that I was forgetting the sour cream and the yams. And so I actually do lists now. So I actually have 10 reasons why we want to live passionate. We want to live with a zeal and a fire in our bones for his presence. And really, if you ask me, what is the house of prayer about? It's really about that. It's about first and foremost just worshiping him, adoring him, because he's worthy of our worship, because he's so extraordinary, amazingly wonderful. By the way, we just discovered this documentary last night that we watched called God of Wonders. And if you get your hands on it, it's amazing. It tells all these details about creation with all these experts on there saying, how else could this have come to be other than by a creator, other than by a very intelligent, you know, design, even your DNA, that your DNA is so strategically designed. I mean, it's just incredible, the detail, the hummingbird and the bee that aerodynamically can't actually fly, but flies because there's a creator who created all these things. And you know, I was on a quest one time. I was going to find out how many stars are there? And the short answer is they don't have a clue. But this guy, this one expert on this documentary talked about billions of trillions of stars are in the universe. And our galaxy alone just has so many. And the Bible talks about that he has everyone named. Oh, I mean, if you can't think of anything else to worship him for that, okay? This is our God. This is our Father. Who there's this octopus that's able to camouflage into any color or design, so it's completely hidden in the seabed. And I'm just thinking, God, you're so amazing. Can't help but worship you just because you're so extravagant. So you know what? A good thing to dwell on is just dwell on his goodness. Dwell on his attributes that are so worthy of our worship. I want to share here 10 reasons why you and I need to be passionate. Number one, you're commanded to. Okay, there's a good reason. Matthew 22, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. By the way, it's not the first suggestion. It's not the first option. It's actually the first commandment. That if you and I are going to get anything right, let's get this one right, that we love him with all of our being, all that we are. First priority, scheduling our time. This affects our money. This affects our emotions. It affects everything that we are. Number one, you know, I've pondered 1 Corinthians 13, I'm sure you have too, about the fact that it says, you know, though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so I should remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. It's thinking, you know, God, that'd be pretty, you know, that'd be pretty something, quite something to move a mountain. Come on, I'd like that. How about you? I want the Elijah anointing. I'm going for the Elijah anointing, you know, to call down fire. But yeah, God's really working on my heart first. But, you know, it's just the power, the signs and wonders. But we can have all of that, but have not love, we've got nothing. And I'm like, okay, take me back to love. Take me back to alignment with the greatest, Lord. Align us, align us. You know, speaking of alignment, I really believe the Lord is saying that for the last part, this last quarter, this last part of 2011, it's really crucial what we do and how we position ourselves for 2012. Has anybody else felt that something's up in 2012? Like there is just an extraordinary, I just see an extraordinary amount of glory and signs and wonders. And you know, there's all the movies about 2012, the world's going to end and all that sort of stuff. But I really think that God's about to pour out something amazing. And many of the prophetic voices, I'm reading other articles saying really the same thing, that this last bit of 2011, as we position ourselves, as we align ourselves into what he has for us, and yes, I believe that includes prayer, yep, but even more so, it's this, it's here, right here. It's my heart, your heart, getting realigned again. This house is so known for this message, but I just felt like the Lord said, I don't want you to preach anything other than this right now. It's about alignment of the heart, alignment of our affection, which affects everything else in life, affects your priorities, affects your time. Alignment, alignment. This is what he's calling us to do. Matthew 25, when the bridegroom says to the foolish, depart from me, for I never knew you. Wait a second here. You know, they were waiting on him too. They were waiting on the bridegroom. Depart from me, I never knew you. Oh, God, I want to know you. God, I want to know you. Have you ever noticed that, you know, people who get disillusioned with church or leave church, and there's the church, you know, that's growing of the unchurched, but a lot of it is not so much that they've lost the connection with God in the midst of the busyness of church. And I just pray that for us, you know, that we could, you know, have fellowship and community and really, you know, I love this church, but that we really keep that connection with him. That you come, you know, to meet with God first and foremost and also have an amazing fellowship time, an amazing time of whatever the Lord wants to do. But, oh, we want to keep that connection with him. Number two, it's why you were created. I like what Jack Frost used to say, you're created for love. You were created for love. You're made for this. The Westminster Shorter Catechism's very first question is this. What is the chief end of man? Does anybody used to have to memorize this? I had to memorize this. And the answer is this, that man's chief end is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. Woo! Enjoy him forever. Have you ever tried to enjoy something that you have no feeling for? I'm going to enjoy this. I'm going to enjoy this. Try forever. You know, and this is really what we're called to do, is to know him, to love him, and that this becomes our sustaining joy. I remember somebody telling me way back when I was like 19 or 20, they said, if you knew all the facts, you'd always choose God's way. That was a really good piece of advice. If you knew all the facts, you knew where you'd be when you're 40 and 50 and 60, that you'd always choose God's way. And I have found that choosing God's way is indeed the most joyful way, because I've messed up. My book tells stories of me messing up. I've had years where I just, you know, was kind of a little bit off the deep end. But I am so glad that I've started to really endeavor to choose him, put him as number one. One of John's favorite verses is Matthew 6:33. In fact, he used to set his alarm at 6:33 in the morning. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. Yes, I remember those days. Now God gets him up on his own, so that's good. But it's true. It's true, isn't it? As we prioritize, as we align, it's like all the other things get added onto us. We glorify him as we love him and let that love reflect in everything we do. Thirdly, it lasts into eternity. Just want to say that that boyfriend that you're after, some of you, that you're not, that's not going to be eternal. And neither even is your marriage. Your marriage isn't going to be eternal. But this relationship is forever. This relationship that we cultivate is forever and ever and ever. And as Jesus said in the most famous sermon ever preached, if you're going to go over anything in your Bible, go over the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, because that's how we're to live our lives. And he said, store up treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy. You know, I have this saying that I really want to live by, and it's like, live for forever now. Live for forever now. Live for forever now. So in other words, I want to live my life with an eye for eternity. The things that I do now affect eternity, that I can spend my time doing things that are temporal and not lasting, or I can spend my time and energy and heart connect in that which will go on into an eternal realm. And I believe that the investments in heaven are so much more fruitful than many investments on earth. Anybody looking for a really good investment? Try heaven, okay? Try the things that are eternal. They, including your money, including your giving, but it's incredible the dividends God gives. You know, God, I remember this story, this guy going up to Mike Bickle one time and saying, hey, you know, this guy really cheated me out of this money that I was supposed to have for helping him on a CD, and I just need some advice of what do you think I should do? And Mike Bickle said to him, he says, oh, he said, these kinds of opportunities don't come around every day. This is just amazing. And this guy's looking at him like, what are you talking about? And, you know, Mike Bickle said, he said, what you could do, yeah, you could go after that guy and you could really, you know, say, hey, pay up, you owe me. Or you could let it go and just sow into him. And even the next time that he needs help on a CD, you can offer to do it for free, because guess what? The returns in heaven are really big. You know what? It's really true, isn't it? It's true. I'm sure so many of you sitting here today, you've proved it. You've tried it. You've put some investments in heavenly accounts, and they come back with phenomenal returns. This is our God. He's just extraordinary. He's worth these investments. And I'm talking more than financial, but where your heart, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also, pursuing him. Number four, living passionate motivates. As John Arnott says, lovers will always outwork workers. And, you know, it's true, because we're motivated. We're motivated by this heart connect. I've been with Heidi Baker. I hope you all come out to hear her this week. I think she's phenomenal, one of my heroes. And I've been with her in Africa when she's hugging some child that's oozing something. You know, I'm not sure what, but oozing something and you know, just the dirt and everything. And she will just hold and hug this child. And I'm thinking, oh, God, help me, help me. I come back from there and think, am I even saved? Okay, am I a Christian? Yes, I am a Christian. But she doesn't want you to call them orphans. Don't call them orphans, because she calls them sons and daughters. And it's phenomenal. But there's something about that ability to have this connection. I remember, Steve, you probably remember this too, years ago when it was like this church growth, I forget what the title of the conference was, but it had to do a lot with church growth. You know, and here's Heidi Baker with, 13,000 churches. So I just saw all these pastors, you know, they're this pastor's conference, church growth principles from Heidi Baker, who has started thousands of churches. And what does she do? She's sitting on the floor. Well, first you hoe, and then you go. And Jesus, Jesus, just love Jesus. And I thought, you know what? That was the most profound sermon I think I ever heard. That is it. It's just, it's this when you're so sold out, when she could say, truly, there's no left in me. There's no left in me because you're worth it all. And then out of that love goes this, out of this vertical love goes this horizontal love, which motivates an incredible ability to reach the hurting and the lost. By the way, I love Vero. She's just getting to know her, amazing. I hope you do, come out for some outreaches. Nefarious, which is a documentary on the sex trade coming out of the Ministry of Exodus Cry, is going to be here on October 21st. This is a huge issue, church, about 200 million, that's a conservative estimate, 200 million slaves are on the earth today. Many of them sex slaves, many of them 8, 9, 10 years old. And there is this thing where love compels us, where it's when this really is aligned, we can't help but love the horizontally. Love motivates. And this is another reason to live our lives with passion, to live our lives with desire, that we would be ones that make a difference. The Mary, as opposed to, God bless Martha, I always feel she got a bad rap, but you know what the point is that Mary chose the better way. And when Jesus came, do you remember when Lazarus died? And Martha came and said, oh, you know, if you would have been here, he wouldn't have died. And Jesus said, peace be still. And then Mary comes and says the same thing. If you would have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. And he sees her weeping. He sees the Jews weeping. And it says Jesus wept. And then he goes and he says, Lazarus, come forth. The ability to move the heart of God. You move the heart of God. You know, this incredible connection. I just feel like I really do now have a revelation of the fact that God moves at the sound of my voice. Guess what? That's not pride. Believe it or not, it's not pride. It's just a fact. It's like he says, come boldly before the throne of grace. But I really, over the years, you know, he's just has taken off the layers of shame, and he's still working on me. And I'm a work in process. But it's amazing to say I can go to this all-powerful, all-amazing God and come with my weak, little, immature yes and my prayer, and he moves at the sound of my voice. This is phenomenal. This is our God. But it's like this connection, you know, this heart love. I'd, you know, almost do anything for my kids except for, you know, ice cream before dinner. But you know what, you get the point, is that you just love them so much you want to bless them. Passion and joy go hand in hand. Number five, Psalm 16:11. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. When we have living with passion, living with full-on desire and zeal for Jesus, it goes with joy. And the joy of the Lord is your strength. Why do you need strength? Well, for many reasons, but let me say this. You need strength to oppose the enemy. We need strength to say yes to righteousness and no to temptations. That gives us strength. Joy in God strengthens us to live this life. Passion keeps our hearts clear from contaminants. Hallelujah. Proverbs 4:23, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. When we have a passionate heart, offense has less room to grow. Hurts get healed, pains are removed, and forgiveness becomes a welcome because our hearts are awake. We don't want to do anything that takes away from the pleasure of knowing this relationship of love. And so offense falls away. How many of you, even recently over the summer, have had lots of opportunity to be offended? Let me just see some hands for a second. Oh, okay. Rest are liars. No, just, but it's interesting. I was a conversation with Sandra Long, and it's like we were both like, oh my goodness, you had that too. It really felt like a hard summer. I don't know if that was anybody else. It felt like a tough summer in many ways. It was this transition, this year of transition. I know that was more than for the Bootsma family who transitioned to Toronto. But there's been a lot of transition this year. And yes, I've had some amazing childbirths, but that part of childbirth called transition tends to be the one that the most women go, ah! Because it's when the baby turns in the birth canal right before the crowning happens. And I feel like in a large scale, the body of Christ has been in transition. And it hasn't always felt comfortable. It's felt like squeezing. It's felt like pressure. It's felt like, okay, I wish this kid would come soon. You know what I'm talking about. And I feel like even now that we're still, like, things are happening, but we're, like, in that season of where the crowning, you know what I'm talking about? Moms know what I'm talking about. Crowning, where you see the hair, and it's like, ah, there is a baby! No, that baby would just come out, but there is a baby! We can see the hair, we can see the head. This is not the time to give up, church, okay? It's not the time to go home. It's the time to push! And that's exactly where we are. That's exactly where we are right now. We are in a time of push. Push. God is birthing something extraordinary. I know it. I'd stake my life on this. God is birthing something extraordinary. His glory is presence. He doesn't put a carrot on the stick, you know, and, you know, tempt us with something that's unattainable. The farmer who sows the seed sows it knowing there is a harvest coming. There is a harvest. Have I got a bad microphone? Check, check, check. Okay. That there is a harvest coming. And so it is that it's just like, you know, God knows that we're in this birthing canal. And it's like, push. Whatever you do, don't back off. Don't waste your downtime on worthless things. Don't, you know, I'm not saying you got to be intense, you know, 24/7, but I am saying don't waste your time. It's like God is so strategically wanting to pour out such a measure. I like that saying that says God wants to pour his spirit without measure on the people without mixture. And God, just get rid of the mixture. Get rid of the contaminants in us. Number 7, passion sets my priorities in place. And we talked about our priorities. Where's Garth? You just turned 65. Am I allowed to say that publicly? Stand up so we can stare at you. Does he look 65? Happy birthday. But you know, when you're 65 or 70 or whatever, I'm sure, I don't know, Garth, have you ever thought about, I really should have spent more time at the office. You know, I just have this sense that, you know, it's all said and done. It's like their priorities, it's not over and said and done, by the way, for you, Garth, but our priorities are so important. Did we learn to love? Remember Bob Jones, the prophet from the States who died, and he faced heaven. And one question was asked of him, did you learn to love? That was it. Did you learn to love? Did you learn to love? It's like, oh God, I want to have these priorities in place. So passion helps keep our priorities in place, including our marriages and our children and the things that really matter. Here's a good Mike Bickle quote. It's not the size of your ministry or your business or your bank account that matters. It's the size of your heart. How's the size of your heart this morning? How's the size of my heart? How about if we just take a little litmus test, a little plumb line, and say, God, realign me again. Realign me again. Center me again on what it means to really live out passionate zeal for you as my first priority. And the amazing thing is everything else is added on. Next, living passionate defines you. I am a lover of God. I like this quote too. I am a lover of God. I am loved by God. Therefore, I am successful. Do you know that right now, approximately 33% of the planet would say, of 7 billion people, would say that they are Christians, that they are, you know, full-on Christians, that they love God and whatnot. About 33%, that's about one-third. That makes most of the planet not successful. That makes most people not really knowing what success is, because this is what it is right here. We want to be defined by our relationship with him. We want to be defined by knowing him. Burnout does not come from working hard. It comes from working with the wrong spirit. It's when we work for success that we get burned out. Got to do this to prove I'm something. Got to do this. But when we work from success, our spirit is strengthened. That's the opposite of striving. When we work from this place of knowing, I am loved by God. I am a lover of God. Therefore, I'm successful. Yes, this is my first preach here in 8 years. And if you really don't like it, guess what? I don't care. That's free. That's freedom. That's freedom. Because I used to care. oh no, how many comments did I get? Oh, I don't care. Because I really know that I am awesome. And he really, really loves me. And that is freedom! Freedom! Oh, we are a success when we know that we're loved and when we love. That's it. I want to be defined by this. One of my daily decrees has to do with, I am defined by my relationship with my Father. I'm not defined by how prophetic I am or whatever. I am defined by my relationship with Him, realigning our identity based on what He says. People, living passionate spurns passion in others. It's contagious. I really love listening to Misty Edwards' sets. I don't know if any of you get onto IHOP's website, but listen to Misty Edwards. And one of the songs she sings is this. She said, how far will you let me go? How abandoned will you let me be? Whew. How far will you let me go? How abandoned will you let me be? It's instead of, how much can I get away with? How much can I get away with, God, before I step out of your grace? No, it's just like, oh, Lord, help me, anoint me to go with such an abandonment, such a fire. My daughter, our daughter Gabrielle, is in Kansas City. She sings as a sub-singer on Misty's sets. And I'm just so proud of her. She's 18 years old. She's living for God and has an incredible passionate desire. And I remember saying to my kids and praying this since they were babies, saying, you know what? You can be a doctor. You can be a nurse. You can be whatever. But what I really want you to be is passionate. I want you to live your life with zeal and passion for Jesus. And I am so grateful because God is just so good that after years of praying that prayer and declaring that over them, that's what they're living. Church, that's what we want to impart. Oh, that what it really matters when it really comes down to it, are we living full on? Are we living with zeal? Are we living with passion? It's contagious, so hang out with people that are passionate. Number 10, living with a passionate heart enables you to love life. And this really comes from what we've been talking about, joy. Living with an awakened heart. You know why I like House of Prayer, and I was sharing on Sunday night about Ezekiel 44 when the Lord woke me up actually one night and he said, I want you to read Ezekiel and start it. Ezekiel 41, and this is like 2:30 in the morning, you know, so I'm like, okay, Ezekiel 41. And when I got to 44, it's like the words jumped off the page. As I began to read about the duties of the priest before the Lord, and in Ezekiel 45, it outlines the priests who did not honor the Lord, who did not obey, and he actually calls them, in verse 13, he calls them an abomination. That's pretty strong language. And if you haven't figured it out, you and I are priests, okay? Read Revelation 1:6 and Hebrews 12 and Church of the Firstborn. We are the priests, the kingdom, a royal priest, a holy nation. And so this is us now to, what does it say in Ezekiel 44:15-16? It talks about the duties of the priest that before, in verse 19, when they were to go in the outer court, minister to the people, in other words, go do what you're called to do, your job, your workplace, your vocation, your kingly anointing, go and make money or whatever it is, but first, we are to do four things, as Ezekiel 44 says. It's this, come near to me, minister to me, stand before me, and keep my charge. Minister to me, come near to me, stand before me, keep my charge. That's what the Lord calls us to do. It's extraordinary that this God of the billions of trillions of stars and, you know, has them all named and all that, that we touch his heart, that you touch his heart. With one glance from your eyes, you make my heart beat faster. This is extraordinary that we can come near to him and minister to God. Oh, come on. You mean my weak little, you know, prayer, my weak little worship ministers to him? Yeah. And you can do this at home and do it at home, the Matthew 6 closet time. But I like the corporate time because it's where we come together on a consistent and a persistent basis and say, we want to worship you. We want to stand before you. We want to minister to you. And we just want to tell you that you're worthy. And it's amazing because it's like you come alive. Your spirit comes alive. And this is what we live for. This is why we can enjoy life, is when our spirits are awakened, when our spirits are alive. Even if things in the natural aren't going so great sometimes, if your spirit is alive, if you're awakened in love, then it's like, it's so extraordinary. Why? It troubles me that you know, there's people that are actually committing suicide. And it's like, what? You know, life is meant to be enjoyed. Enjoying is, put in the mouth of Joyce Meyer, enjoy everyday life. Enjoy everyday life. Enjoy being that mom at home and that business person and that job you have. And boy, I've had some killer jobs, by the way. I used to work at the Campbell's Soup Factory. Did you guys know that? I'm sure you didn't know that. And probably nobody cares. But anyways, I remember working at the chicken soup factory for a period of time when I was a student and cutting these chickens and thought, how am I going to enjoy this? And then I began to just start to commune with the Lord, you know, just like started to pray and started to commune with the Lord. And before you know it, it was like, wow, the shift was over and I could just feel fire in my bones again. Now, thank God, you know, he didn't call me long-term to work at the chicken soup factory. However, I want to bless everybody who works at the chicken soup factory, okay? But there's this thing of where whatever you do, you can enjoy it because God is there. Because God comes in the workplace with you. You're meant to enjoy life. And if you're not enjoying life, there's something wrong. And let's pray and let's contend for the abundance that God has for you. And now how can I live passionate? David said this in Psalm 18:1. He said, I will love you, O Lord, my strength. I will love you. In other words, he set his heart to love God. And I believe that that's part of it, setting our heart to love him, saying, you know what, I'm just going to love God. I'm going to have my heart awakened. I'm going to realize that this is what I'm called to do. This is what I'm made for, and I'm going to set my heart for this. I'm going to cultivate this, just like a marriage needs cultivating. Thank God, John 21 years ago, who said, I love you, and let's get married, and I do, didn't stop there. You know, that wouldn't do it for me. I told you I loved you 20 years ago. Isn't that good enough? Well, not really, no. So it's cultivated, it's brought forward, you know, day after day. So we want to cultivate this passion with the Son of God, the Son of Man. We love because he first loved us. As you gaze at those eyes of flaming desire for you, as you take the time to soak, this is soaking Mecca, right? Toronto, soaking Mecca. But are we doing it? Are we doing it Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday? And by the way, there's soaking sessions going to be on this week. In the house of prayer over the supper hour. But are you doing it? Are we doing it in our homes? I just, you know, fill me up. I put on an iPod every morning. My feet actually do not hit the ground until I've been soaking because I have my iPod, put it in, just turn on that amazing music and just fill me up. Beam me up, Scotty, you know. Just love, joy, peace, patience. I love it because what happens is it's the fruit of the Spirit. How many here could use a little bit more of the fruit of the Spirit? Come on. Thank you for being honest. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Guess what? Little secret for you. The fruit of the Spirit comes from the Spirit. Wow. And that means that when we spend time with the Spirit, we get some of that stuff. And so if you put that in your schedule, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, I don't know, I still love Ruth Fizell, God bless. I listen to her stuff, and I just like, And I can literally feel my spirit getting built up. And I have found that I've been much more loving, found that the sensitivity of the voice of the Spirit has gone up. Because I've been here and learned about soaking, but I wasn't doing it on a consistent basis until the year of 2001. That's actually 10 years ago now. 10 years ago, the Lord taught me that I needed to do this outside of the meetings. I needed to do this outside of corporate soaking. I needed to soak every day. And I'm so glad because the Lord has totally revolutionized my heart from soaking. We want to dwell on how much we're loved and get filled up with how much we're loved. I want to encourage us not to go down detours, you know, those things that steal from your affection, like overdoing the movies, like the remote control syndrome, blah, 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 you know. How about we just get delivered of TV? How's that? Yeah, woo! You know, about 8 years ago, we threw our TV away, and it was one of the best decisions we ever made in our family. We actually spend time with each other and play games and read books. And when we moved into this house 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago now, they left a TV. But the funny thing is, great, you know, flat screen TV on the wall and everything. The funny thing is, it doesn't work. We're like, okay, God, we get the point. And even the owner said, oh, no, it works. And we said, no, it doesn't work. So we're like, no problem. But God is good. Okay, I'm not saying y'all have to throw your TV away. Okay, don't quote, you know, go to John Carroll. She said we had to throw our TV away. No, I, you know what? You don't have to throw it away. But I would really encourage moderation. Is that okay? It's just this, I feel like it steals from family life. It steals from our hearts being awakened in love. Loving God with all our heart, engaging our emotions in love for God. loving God with all our mind, when we fill our mind with what inspires us for love instead of that which diminishes it. I can watch a movie sometimes and I will think about that movie for 2 weeks afterwards. That's how our mind can work, through the eye gates, through the ear gates. And so we want to guard our minds with what goes into it. Loving God with all our strength, with our resources, with our time, with our money, with our energy, with our talents, with our words, with our influence. That's loving God with our strength. What do we got to bring to the table to show God we love him? And loving God with our soul, realigning our identity to be based on a relationship with God. Can I have the worship team come back up? What I'd love to do is have a time where we can just pray into this and say, Holy Spirit, as we, you know, everything feels so new about September, and it is in many ways. It's Rosh Hashanah is coming up September 28th. That's the Jewish New Year, and there's a lot of significant events coming. You can pray about Israel. Please pray for Israel and the UN and deciding to divide Jerusalem, which has ramifications that could be huge on the world stage. But there's something new about September. School and all that starts back. But it's like it's another time to just say, I want to realign myself. I want to jump into what really matters, like, you know, January when you go on the diet, you know, that sort of thing. But September is another good time to just realize. So let's all stand together.